I was wondering what some of you might do while you're finding the book of Ruth, right after the book of Judges. I was wondering what some of you might do if you were to win the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes. I believe if they showed up at my door with that big check, and I don't know how many, they've told me I was going to win it 100 times, and I'm always a finalist. How about you? Amen. One of these days it's bound to hit, amen? But I'm afraid if they show up in my driveway, Brother Stacy, with that big old check, my neighbors may know it. How about y'all? I mean, I'm a poor boy at best. They show up and give me $10 million. They're going to know it down at the store at the end of my road. Somebody will say, "What's that racket?" "Oh, Eddie hit the publisher's clearinghouse," amen? I'm going to shout about it. And you would too, and rightly so. Amen.
Yes, sir.
What would you do if your daughter had cancer from head to toe? Yeah. Told she was going to die and there was no hope, and get a video camera and make memories for your child. And then all of a sudden that daughter who's going to die winds up living, healed of cancer. And then they tell that daughter there's no physical, scientific way that she'd ever be able to conceive and bear a child. And then she goes in for a minor surgery, and they say, "We can't do surgery." Why? Because you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Publisher's clearinghouse ain't got nothing on that. Amen. Hallelujah. God's been good. I'm going to preach in a minute, but I just want to say God's been good.
Yeah.
Amen. I've been around this place 20 years, and I could tell you enough stories this morning just to tell you God's been good.
Yes,
and it's a shame we sit here and cross our arms and just, It really is, man. I wonder how much more God would bless if we'd thank Him for what He's already done. If our Sunday school program for the last few weeks, we've been doing lessons from legends. We talked about Elijah, and then last Sunday, Elisha. I didn't preach on Elijah. I wish I had. There's a lot of good preaching there. I love to go to the mountain where they sacrificed and the fire came down from heaven. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, Elijah kills 400 devil worshipers with his bare hands. I like that. You say, "You're sick." I know. That stuff intrigues me, man. Amen. I don't watch movies unless somebody gets shot. Amen. I like that kind of stuff, and the Bible's full of it. It's exciting. Amen. Last week we talked about Elisha. We've been talking about some great, great men of the faith. But this morning we're going to talk about a little lady. One of the greatest women, I believe, in the Bible is this little lady, Ruth. Only two books of the Bible named after women, Ruth and Esther. Ruth and Esther. And anyway, we're going to talk about Ruth a little bit this morning, and I'm sure that you did in your Sunday school class this morning. Brother Freddie told me a little bit about what he is going to teach, and Brother William gave me a little insight of what he did this morning, and a lot of good lessons went out this morning about the book of Ruth. But last Sunday when we talked about Elisha, we talked about Elisha's decision, and I got hung right there, if you'll remember right, and just spent some time on how important making decisions is in our life. As I began to pray this week and I began to look at the book of Ruth, what I did, I just read it. I just read the book of Ruth. I thought, well, I'm just going to read through it. And I read through it twice. I read through the book of Ruth twice. And here's what I found in the book of Ruth, Brother Sam. Everybody, every character in the story of Ruth makes some life-changing, life-altering decisions. Big decisions. You know, we make decisions every day. You'll go to McDonald's in a little bit or Burger King, and you'll make a decision whether or not to get cheese on your quarter pounder. Amen. That's a decision. But it's not a life-altering decision. Now, if you go to Sonic and get chili on your tots, that's life-altering right there. Amen. But we make decisions day in and day out. I wonder how many decisions you make every day without even thinking. Amen. How many decisions you make every day without even thinking? It just these things that we do day in and day out. And by the way, many of them we take for granted. Amen. Many of them we take for granted. Let me say it again. Many of them we take for granted. This morning, my alarm clock went off, and I hit snooze like any good Christian will do. Say amen right there.
Amen.
I heard one preacher said it was a character flaw to have a snooze button on your alarm clock, and I thought, yeah, right. My alarm clock went off. I made a decision when my wife came in and said, "Are you going to church today?" I made a decision to get out of bed. And I took that decision for granted. How many of you have a hard time getting up in the morning? Come on, be honest. Some people are morning people. My wife makes me sick. I mean, she gets up with the chickens, and she's got a song on her heart and a smile on her face and just bouncing around the house. I wake up and get up, but it takes my body about another hour to catch up with. Can I get a witness right there? I felt the Holy Ghost on that, amen? It takes my body a while to catch up. But you know, if we think right and we don't take that for granted, we might get up a little bit happier when we realize I didn't just get up and I didn't just have to get up, but I got to get up.
Amen.
There's a lot of people this morning who have loved to have got up. Are y'all listening to me? I visited with a little boy yesterday. Some of you know him, little brother Zach Harris. He's probably listening on the radio this morning. Zach had an accident a while back, comes to our church, but Zach was moving a TV and hit his knee with the TV. Didn't think nothing about it. Fractured his knee, and some kind of compartmental syndrome. Blood started coming through the fracture and settling in. He's bleeding to death inside his leg. Almost died, but he's propped up in the bed, and he told me yesterday that it was God's will for his life, and he talked about how God used that thing. And you know what I'm saying? We take these legs for granted every single day. And Zach said, "Man, I just thank God that I'm able to be here. I almost died."
Yes.
Amen. So you ought to thank God that you're able to be here this morning. But you made a decision to get up. And now some of you kids, I know some of you kids sitting there going, "Bless God, I didn't make no decision to get up. It was made for me." Amen. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be when you're young. Amen?
Amen?
Hey, you make them get up and go to school on Monday, you ought to make them get up and go to church on Sunday.
Amen.
Bless God, what we got here will take them further than the history class will.
Amen.
They ain't teaching true history anymore anyway. What they're telling your kids is a sack of lies. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I get sidetracked so easily, but it's so much fun. Amen? Amen. I just got some pet peeves and some people I'd like to really just skin this morning. But we're talking about decisions, ain't we? Amen. We make decisions every day, little decisions. I'll stand at and I don't know how blessed I am. And you don't know how blessed you are. We have a pantry in our kitchen. That's a closet for food. I'll open that door to that pantry. How many of y'all can help me right here? I'll open the door of that pantry and just stand there. It's got about 4 or 5 shelves. And I'll look on that top shelf and go, "Wheat thins, don't think so." All that healthy stuff, granola, nah. Doritos. Cool Ranch, now we're talking, amen. And I'll stand there and I'll look at all the food in that pantry, and this is what I'll do every now and then, and this is exactly what you'll do every now and then. I'll take about 3 steps back and slam a door and say, "A thing to eat in this house."
Yeah.
Somebody help me.
Yeah.
Shelly's poking Brother Freddie. Yeah, just stand there and look at all that food. Then I'll go from the pantry to the Frigidaire. Now, if you're up north, that's a refrigerator. But here it's a Frigidaire. Amen? I'll stand there and just stand up with the door open. Open the drawers. Y'all all right? What do I want to eat? What do I want to eat? Isn't it a blessing we get to eat? Come on, think about it. I'm not even getting toward the message this morning. I don't know why. But isn't a blessing you get to eat?
Yes, yes,
sir. It could be a real simple decision for you when you open that pantry. A little bit of cornmeal, bag of pinto beans, and a couple of taters, and that's all you got. Which that's pretty good to me, amen. Making myself hungry right now, amen. Man, that was a major meal every week when I was growing up. Cornbread, pinto beans, and fried taters, amen. Fried taters. I ain't talking about scalloped and all that stuff. I'm talking about fried. Slice them up, put them in the frying pan full of grease and fry them. Hey, Ben, goes right there. Somebody help me this morning. Decisions, we make them every single day of our life. You just think about how many you've made already today. I had to decide what suit to wear. I had to decide what tie to put on. What socks? What socks matches this suit? I'm scared to pull up my pants legs sometimes. There ain't no telling, amen? Have you ever got to church and found out you had on two different colors? If I don't cut the bedroom light on, I'm liable to have on a navy blue and a black one. Amen. But we make decisions. Now listen, those are little decisions. And it doesn't matter what color socks I wore today. It's not going to change tomorrow. It doesn't matter whether or not I get cheese on my quarter pounder. It ain't going to change the course of tomorrow. It doesn't matter what color tire or what I had for breakfast this morning, how long I stood at the pantry or in front of the Frigidaire. It ain't going to have any effect on the course of tomorrow. But sometimes in life, we're faced with major decisions. With major decisions. And as a pastor over the... I ain't even read no scripture yet, have I? I will, I promise. As a pastor over the years, I've watched people make major decisions in their life. Have you ever looked at somebody and went, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Problem is, they weren't. People live so casually. You know, casual is a root word of casualty. If you take things so casual, well, just whatever. No, not whatever. Your life is going to turn out according to the decisions you make. And whether or not you seek the will of God in those major decisions in your life. Hey, young people, ain't many of them in here, they're in teen church, but you better listen to me. You better seek God when it comes to the decision who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Amen. Before you step down in this altar and say, I do, for better or worse, sickness and health, rich or poor, whatever comes. Amen. Before you say, I do to that, you better get hold of God and you better seek the will of God for that decision. Hey, because it will affect the rest of your life. The rest. Church, and I know it well. I know the kind of services they have. They ain't like this. Yeah. Brother Tommy would have been asked to leave this morning.
Yes, sir.
Those people coming to the altar, they would have been told it's not time. Go yes. back to your seat. The band hasn't played yet.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Come on, preacher. Major decision. Well, we go to this church because the kids like the music.
Yeah.
What good is the music they like without the gospel they need? Yes, I say to you, that is a major decision in your life, whether or not the gospel is preached, where you attend church. Hey, we ain't the only show in town.
That's right.
Ain't some fine preachers in this neck of the woods.
Sir.
Y'all listen to me? Brother Steve, y'all got something to say about Stevie down the street. Don't even tell me about it. Amen.
Amen.
I was visiting yesterday with Zach and while I was there, his mom and dad go to New Georgia. And Brother Charles came in, your uncle, and had a couple other guys with him. And Brother Charles was introducing me to his other men. He said, this is Brother Eddie White. He pastors down at Fullerville. I said, I ain't that big. Amen. Steve Swofford's my buddy. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, well, I'm not so arrogant to think we're the only church in town.
Yeah.
I am so arrogant to think we're the best one. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to think your church is the best church.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If I didn't think it was, I'd go hunt me another.
Amen.
Hey, but that's an important decision in your life where you choose to worship the Lord. Met a man one time, Brother Robert Upton and I. I don't think he's here this morning. Brother Robert Upton and I met a man, Brother Charles, you may remember. He came to our church over in the old building in Dallas, and he got saved. And he told me and Brother Robert knew him from work, I think. And he told me and Brother Robert that day that he had been going to a Baptist church, a prominent Baptist church in Dallas, Georgia, for 6 years. For 6 years, he said, I've been going every Sunday for 6 years, and I've never heard what I heard today. He said, I did not know that if I died, I'd go to hell. He said, I never heard that. He said, I heard some great sermons. He said, I learned how to manage my finances. He said, I learned about depression, and I learned about relationships, and I learned, but I never learned about the condition of my soul. Oh, my. Hey, it's important you raise them babies under Bible preaching.
Yes, sir.
It's a big decision, but people make them without even thinking. Well, we go here because our friends do. I wouldn't care if I didn't have a friend in the church as long as I was getting the Bible taught and preached to me. Amen. You okay? Major decision. Who you'll spend the rest of your life with. Where you'll go to church. Major decision. Some of you are going to make a major decision before you leave here today. You came in this place. You're not sure deep down in your heart if you died today, heaven would be your home. You're not sure. You could not convince me of that. You couldn't take the Bible and convince me that you know Christ as your Savior. But we're going to give an invitation in a minute. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go, not today. Major decision. And we make so many of these major decisions without thinking. I remember the law of, what is it, the law of something, every action. For every action, there is a reaction. Yes. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. For every decision we make, there's an outcome. You don't make a decision and nothing come from it, especially a major decision. Amen? Let's look at the book of Ruth. Oh, my, it's 5 after 11. It is. 4 exits up. Amen? The Bible said in Ruth chapter 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Listen. I'll come back there. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go? Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them?
from having husbands, nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now listen, we've read of every character almost in our story, but one, and that's this man named Boaz, and we'll talk about him in a minute if we can get there. But I want to look at these people that we've read about so far and look at some major decisions they faced in their life. I want to look first of all at this man named Elimelech. Elimelech in our story, he made a decision to retreat or to run. In verses 1 through 5, the Bible says that in Judah, in Bethlehem, Judah, that means the house of bread, there was a famine in the land. And God was judging his people. And sometimes when God is judging his people, even like they were then, he still does so today. And in the face of judgment, instead of seeking the face of God, we run from the presence. And that's what Elimelech chose to do. He sacked up his clothes. He gathered up his belongings. He got his wife by the hand and his two little old boys, and he went into the land of Moab. And God had already said that Moab was his washpot. That's where the dirty water goes. God didn't think much about Moab. But when trouble came, Elimelech made a decision. He made a decision. Listen, I don't know when trouble's coming. You may be in it. I don't know when trials are coming. You may be in one. The old saying goes, you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or about to go into a trial. Is that right? Job said, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Hey, friend, you don't listen to that crowd on TV. They're a sack of liars. I mean, if their lips are moving, that's how you know they're lying. They tell you to send your $5, your $20, sow a seed, they say. I hope you don't do that. Hey, I'll tell you, if you'll put that seed here, we'll buy gospel tracts with it. We'll do something to keep people out of hell. We'll run buses and pick up little old boys and girls and tell them Jesus died for them. Sow a seed, my hind leg. Why don't they ever sow no seed?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Y'all all right? Tell you all your problems, be gone. Hey, we prayed over this rag. We prayed over this cloth. If you'll send $25, we're going to pray over this, and you put it under your pillow. You don't want to put this one under your pillow. It's haunted. It's got a booger in it. Amen. You know how to make a handkerchief dance, don't you? Put a little boogie in it. Amen. Listen, they'll tell you all kind of things to get a dollar out of your pocket. They'll tell you everything in the world to get half your Social Security. But they're lying. Hey, listen, hey, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I can carry you down to the hospital. I can show you God-fearing people who have faith in God and trust in God. But their life is held by the half acre. Hey, because that's what God chose. Hey, and God's will is God's will is God's will. Are you okay? Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll make the wrong decision in light of difficulty.
Yes, sir.
Or in the face of difficulty.
Yeah.
Now listen, I'll be honest with you, my first instinct's to run.
Yeah.
I grew up sneaking in catfish ponds. Oh yeah. It wasn't really fun if you went in the daylight and had permission.
Yeah.
We used to fish it. I hope he ain't listening. I think he may be in heaven. Old brother Fred Lindsay, we used to sneak in his lake over on Pine Shadows Drive. You remember that, Stacy? He had a sign. You remember that sign? He had a sign on the pine tree right as he walked up. It said, God knows you're here. We saw flashlights coming or heard bullets whizzing. Hey, we didn't stick around. Well, let's pray about what we should do. Well, I didn't grab Timmy Malden and say, I think we ought to get down here and pray. No, run!
Yeah.
Man, that's a first basic human instinct. Trouble's coming this way, I'm going that way. And that bleeds over into our Christian life. Sometimes when trouble's coming that way, the will of God for us is to stand still.
Yes, sir.
Just stand still. I remember one time when I was a boy, I'll never get all this preached. Come back tonight, would you? I remember one time when I was a boy, we had a Charley Angus Cross bull. That may not mean nothing in the world to you. Let me put it in just plain English. Gray. He had a white mama and a black daddy. He was gray. We had a gray bull. And that sucker was meaner than a striped snake. And he hated my guts with a passion. Probably because I shot him so much with a BB gun. But he hated my guts. And I was coming across the pasture. I had a trail between our house and Papa and Granny's house. And I was coming across the pasture, and Papa was standing at the gate. And here come that Charley bull. And he stopped about 20 yards from me. And, I mean, he could have just freight trained, but he stopped and started pawing the ground. And I started crying. Papa said, "Boy, ruck up." I ain't never figured out what that means. I think it means shut up and quit crying. But he said, "Ruck up, boy. Stop that crying." I started, don't you move. You stand still. He said, "You just stand there and look at him." I stood there a minute. He pawed the ground, blowed dirt for a minute. He turned around and walked off. And I went, whew. I tried that again one day. Didn't work that time. That bull hated my guts, and I hated him. Amen. We ate that rascal. Amen. I won. Hallelujah. Amen. I lost my whole train of thought.
Yeah, stay still. Don't move. Listen, when you don't know what to do, when you absolutely don't know what to do, be careful.
Yes, sir.
Be careful.
That's right.
Somebody once said, and I believe it was a wise statement, never make a major decision. Never make a major decision when you don't really know what to do. Don't ever make a major decision in time of trouble. That's time just to be still and wait on the Lord. Elimelech made a decision, didn't he? You know what he heard? There's bread down in Moab. You know what?
I'd sell it so fast to make your head spin.
Yeah.
We're not a bank.
That's right.
Amen.
We're a church. It comes in, it goes out.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, "How much money church got?" None. Got a little bit in the building program. They said, "Don't that bother you?" Not a lick. Amen. They said, "Old Harold Seitler, that great ministry up there in South Carolina, he'd said every month he'd get his finance guy and set it down and say, 'What's the balance?' And the guy'd say, 'Well, it's this or that.' He'd say, 'Divide it up amongst our missionaries. I don't want to be caught holding the Lord's money.'"
Amen.
They'd start every month with a balance of zero. How about that?
Yes, sir.
Boy, that'd make the brethren nervous. Amen.
Yeah.
Elimelech made a major decision. Now, watch me carefully, and I'm going to try to hurry. Listen, his decision not only affected him, he died.
Yeah.
I don't know what of. But it could have been something he picked up in Moab.
Yeah.
Y'all all right? Could have been something he picked up in Moab.
Right.
Then his two sons died.
Yes, sir.
Could have been they caught it from daddy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, y'all right? A lot of times we blame God for something God didn't do.
That's right.
I wonder if Elimelech thought, man, why is God doing this to me? God didn't make that decision. You did.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Hey, I'm still paying the consequence and paying the price for decisions I made in my flesh way back yonder. And God didn't have nothing to do with it. And I can't stand here flat-footed and blame God for my problem and blame God for my difficulty when God had nothing to do with the decision that I made. So don't blame God and don't get bitter at God. Because the situation you're in when God had nothing to do with it.
That's right.
Y'all all right? His decision not only affected him, but it affected his wife. She's a widow because of his decision. She's childless. She's had to bury her husband and both her boys because of the decision her husband made. Somebody said, well, she made a bad decision. She went with him. No, she didn't. Naomi never made a bad decision.
Right.
She followed her husband.
Yes, sir.
You better get a grip on that, man.
Yes, sir.
So there's a responsibility laid at our feet.
Amen.
I know that ain't the way society teaches, but you're going to see at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes, sir.
It's going to lay at our feet.
That's right.
The decisions for our household's going to lay at our feet. Some people just need to man up. Amen.
Amen.
Naomi did not make a bad decision. Listen, Elimelech. He chose to retreat. And you know what happens? When we choose to run from the will of God and the presence of God, which is what he did, and then when things go sour, you know what we do? We blame everybody else.
That's right.
Yeah. Nobody, listen.
Let's just have a family meeting this morning. Nobody's out of church this morning because of himself.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Amen.
Nobody, Brother Redman. Not one.
I just got to look myself in the mirror and go.
Amen.
It's you, bud.
Yes, sir.
Right.
It's you. See, psychology has us so bent that direction.
That's right.
I could go to a doctor today and say, I'm depressed. I don't feel good. I don't want to see people. I just want to stay in the bed. Here, take these handful of pills.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
The first thing they want to do is start asking me about my mama.
Yeah.
My mama's fine. I ain't happy.
Yeah.
Did she beat you as a child? Every day.
Yes, sir.
Every day.
Yes, sir.
Whether I needed it or not, if I didn't need it, I got one on credit. Yes.
Amen.
Child abuse.
Yes, sir.
Beat me every day.
Yeah.
Oh, so you have all this aggression. Are you listening to me?
Yeah,
they're teaching us to blame our problems on somebody else.
Yes,
so when people say that preacher's crazy, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Amen. I know that's just cotton patch plain this morning, but that's the way it is.
That's right.
Oh, so-and-so hurt my feelings. So what?
Amen.
But yeah, we got your feelings hurt at work.
Yeah.
Why don't you go quit that tomorrow?
Go on, preacher.
Won't you just go in tomorrow and say, somebody hurt my feelings, I ain't coming back.
Yeah.
Somebody make fun of your kid at school?
Yeah, come on.
Well, don't let them go back.
Yeah.
That's the way you treat God.
That's right. Come on.
Say, somebody talked about me at Happy Valley. They go into it at Fullerville, too.
Yeah.
They're going to it Gateway too. They're going to it Kelly Harbin too. Why? Because they all just like us.
Yeah, that's right.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Elimelech made a decision, affected his whole family.
Yes, sir.
Affected the future of his children. We don't know what would have happened had they stayed in Bethlehem, Judah.
Right.
We don't know. We don't know. I got a feeling for Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, it would have been better.
Amen.
Got a feeling it would have been better.
Yes, sir.
So we have Elimelech making this decision to retreat. And then I'll just hurry through these, if you'll let me. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
Naomi, the wife. And I believe she's a good wife.
Yes, sir.
I really do. I believe she's submissive to her husband.
Yes.
I'm not talking about he put a chain around her neck and a dog collar and let her around. Right. That ain't what we mean when we talk about submission. I believe they were on the same page.
Yes,
about
sir.
That. Naomi made a decision. And she chose to return. Naomi made a decision, and she chose to return. She left the blessings of God. She got out in the mess. This is a great picture of a backslid.
Yes, sir.
She got out and found herself in the mess. She's got three grave sites over here on the hillside. One is her husband, and the other two is her boys. And she's stuck with her boys' wives, and she begins to think, famine over there at home, but it sure was better than it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Reminds me of a young man in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
We call him the prodigal.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He got his inheritance and left town.
Yes, sir.
Partied it, gone.
Right.
Till he's broke. He's in the hog pen and about to fill his belly with the food that the pigs are eating. And he goes, wow. My father's servants has got it better than this.
Yes, sir.
Yes, brother. Hallelujah.
Why don't you remember how good it was with God?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 So how long were we going through? How was it when you was with God?
That's right.
Can I embarrass you for a second? Brother Jason came, I don't know how many years ago now, maybe several years ago. Brother Jason came in my driveway, stood there and cried like a baby, so unhappy. Life a mess. And I'll never forget the question I asked him. I'll never forget his answer. I said, Jason, when were you at your happiest? Here's his answer. He stood there for a minute. He said, there's no doubt. He said, I was in church. He said, I was serving God. He said, I was testifying. I was singing in the youth choir. He said, those were the happiest days of my life.
Yeah,
yeah.
I said, well, go back to what you left.
That's right.
Just get up from where you are.
Yes, bro.
Yes, sir.
And go back to what you're
laying.
You know, that's a good thing about our church. You can always come home.
Amen.
I'm glad when Naomi got back to Bethlehem, they didn't say, oh, get out of here. You've been to Moab, you wicked dog. You ain't right. We're going to church you. Church you. Somebody told me about somebody getting church the other day. What's that mean? That means run off, out of church, voted out.
That's right.
You got to do something real bad.
Yeah.
Amen. Church. People that gets church usually needs help.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's
Amen.
Right.
People that gets church usually needs help. I'm glad they didn't reject her.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad she is welcomed back home. Amen.
Amen.
They, you know what? There ain't never been nobody in this church that's made any kind of mistake that ain't welcome to walk right back down here and get in this office.
Amen.
And get right with God and us rejoice to see
yes,
them.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And us rejoice to see them come. I get text messages from Brother David Naylor all the time. Pray for me, brother. I'm preaching. Amen. I'm glad I get to pray for him that he's preaching.
Yes, sir.
And not dead. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I rejoice in that. Oh, but didn't he make a mistake? Yeah, and he'll tell you about it, but I won't.
Yeah.
Amen. All right.
That's right.
Yeah, but don't you remember?
Mm-mm. Nope.
That's good, brother.
Elimelech chose to run or retreat. Naomi chose to return. I'm going back where God is.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm going. I know we got difficult, and I know we got trouble, and I know we got trial. I'm going back where God is.
Amen.
It's just simply better where He's at.
Amen.
Would you agree?
Amen.
It's just simply better where the Lord is. You remember Simon Peter after the Lord was crucified?
He made a decision. He said, I'm going fishing.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about hooking up the bass boat and going to Lake Wise for the day. He said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old job.
Yeah.
The heck with this ministry stuff. The heck with all this preaching stuff. He's dead. I'm going back to work.
Yeah.
And them disciples, hey, Peter made a decision just like Elimelech.
Right.
And just like Elimelech, them disciples said, hey, if you going, we going.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You remember the story? They fished all night long.
Yeah.
And caught nothing. Early that morning, there's a stranger standing on the
yes,
bank.
Hey.
And he hollers something to Peter.
Yes.
And he says, children, have ye any meat? You know
yeah.
what? It's the Lord.
Yes.
You know what he's saying? How's it going, guys?
That's right.
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
Yeah.
I know you forsook your nets and said you was going to follow me and become fishers of men. And I see you've made this major decision to go back on your decision.
Yeah.
I see you decided to neglect what you said you were going to
That's
do.
That's right.
And you went back to what you used to do. How's it going?
Yes, sir.
Don't you hate it when the Lord asks questions like that?
Amen.
That he already knows the answer
yes,
to.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
How's that old life treating you there, Christian?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Looks like y'all doing some fishing, boys. Doing any good?
Yeah.
We fished all night and taken nothing.
Right.
You want a blessing?
Yeah.
Do what I say.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So let's try it my way, Peter. Now cast your net.
Amen.
It's always better where the Lord is.
That's right.
That's why some of you, you can get mad and you can leave here. And you can wind up in a dead church somewhere and you won't never be happy.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Why? You've been where God is.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. You've been where God is. As Naomi stood there and looked at them gravesides, she says, I remember. I remember where God is.
Amen.
She said, I'm going back. I'm going back. Listen, Naomi made the decision to return. Then there's this little girl by the name of Orpha. She chose to reject.
Yes,
she chose to reject.
Amen.
She said, I'm going home. Naomi gives them an out. Naomi gives them a way out. She looks at Orpha and she looks at Ruth and she says, girls, go back to your mother. She said, I ain't got no more babies to bear. I'm too old for a husband. I'm not going to give you any more sons. I'm done. Go home.
Yeah.
You know what Orpha said? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go back to Moab. She made a decision to reject.
Yes,
I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to trust God. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a minute this morning to put your life in God's hand.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to make a decision.
Yes.
One of the two. You're going to receive him or you're going to reject him.
Right.
Yes.
And Orpha made that decision to reject him. You know, I've read this Bible from one end to the other, and I don't ever read where she got another opportunity.
Right.
Amen. You're right.
I never read where Orpha got another opportunity.
Right.
She chose to reject. You know what? I was fortunate. I grew up in church from the time I was 4 years old. I heard the gospel thousands of times.
Yeah.
Heard some of the greatest preachers in this country. Many of them are already in heaven.
Yes.
I heard Edgar Thomas, Mays Jackson, Billy Kelly, Ed Below. I'm telling you, I've heard some great, great preachers.
Yes,
you know what I did? I chose to reject Brother Freddie over and over and over. I sure am glad he was gracious.
Amen.
Sure, I'm glad he was gracious on a New Year's Eve and came by one more time.
Amen.
And he said, how about tonight?
Yes, bro.
I may not come by this way again. Son, how about tonight?
Hallelujah.
Will you come with me? I said, I believe I will.
Amen.
Amen. Orpha chose to reject. I'm going to hurry. Let's look at Ruth right quick. Ruth chose to rely.
Amen.
Ruth chose to rely. Evidently, this young lady had seen something in her mother-in-law.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Right.
Evidently, there was something about her mother-in-law that made Ruth desire. She'd never been to Bethlehem, as far as I know.
Yeah.
She didn't know what the houses were like. She didn't know what the job market was. She didn't know what the economy was like. She had no clue. But she saw something in her mother-in-law. And Ruth, Naomi said, Ruth, you going back to your parents? She said, nah, I'm going with you.
Amen.
Entreat me not to leave. I ain't going home.
Yeah.
I'm going to you.
Right.
Where God? See, Naomi told Orpah, go home to her little g God. Ruth said, I want your big G God. Ruth said, them little G gods, they ain't cutting it. They ain't cutting it so far. They ain't done nothing for me yet. But evidently, you got a hold of something, Mama. Mother-in-law, evidently, you got a hold of something. I want your big God to be my big God. And I want your people to be my people. Where you live, I'll live. And where you die, I'll die. And where they bury me, where they bury you, they can pile me right in there beside you. Amen. She made a decision to rely on Naomi's God. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad I made a decision to rely on that God. Listen, and because of her decision, and Brother Todd, y'all come, because of her decision, it started something. It started something. You see, Ruth was a Moabite.
That's
a Gentile.
Amen. Yes, sir.
She wasn't counted among the children of Israel.
That's right.
But over in Bethlehem, Judah, there was a man, there was a man named Boaz that the Bible calls the kinsman redeemer.
Yes, sir.
Somebody who could buy her back and purchase her way into the family. Hey, because that Ruth made a decision to rely, Boaz made a decision to redeem.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Because Jesus made a decision to go to Calvary, God made a decision to redeem my wicked soul. Somebody ought to get happy this morning. Somebody ought to get happy. Levi told me this morning, I won't take credit for this. Levi said, you know, there's others that probably could have redeemed her, but wouldn't have done it.
That's right.
He said, you know who Boaz's mom was? Rahab the harlot.
Yes, sir.
And no wonder. Hallelujah. Decisions. Hey, and that decision Boaz made didn't stop there. We're still seeing its effect today. You're seeing its effect right now. Stand our feet. Let's be careful in our decisions. Listen, we're going to have the altar call. Before we do, I wonder, we could just bow our heads right quick. Nobody looking around, I'll have you out here in just a minute. I wonder if somebody needs to make a decision this morning. You're not 100% sure that if you died right now, heaven would be your home. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. We don't drag people to the altar. I'm not even going to call your name publicly. I just want to pray for you. You said, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure. If I died just like I am, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Would you just stick your hand up and you can put it right back down? Anybody? Preacher, pray for me. God bless you, hon. I see your hand. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. If you can really know this in your heart, please remember me when you pray. Anybody? How about this, preacher? I've got some decisions coming my way. And what I decide and what I choose may alter the course of my life. Please pray that I'd seek God in making these decisions in my life. How about that? Hands all over this building. God bless you, sis. Hands all over this building. Fathers, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. Father, you saw every hand. Lord, you know every heart. Lord, I pray you deal with us accordingly this morning and have your way. Lord, I'm so glad I made the decision to trust you. Lord, not just with my life, but with my soul. Not just with my future, but my eternity. Lord, I believe that was a wise decision. Lord, help somebody to make the right decision today. Don't let them leave here without you. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give you glory for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.